All right. So the last 2 weeks were about words, as we've been getting into more specific topics with Proverbs. And we talked about how the wise people use their words. Then we talked about how unwise, foolish people use their words. Today, as I said, it will be about honesty. And next week, dishonesty. Okay, these are extremely important topics. Now, unfortunately, there aren't a ton of verses in Proverbs that are specifically about honesty, like there are for words. Most of the verses speak of dishonesty, so next week I'll have a lot more material to work with. So today's sermon might be a little bit shorter than usual. I have a few quotes from a few well-known writers in the past, things that can help us think about honesty. Fyodor Dostoevsky, the famous Russian writer, he once said, "Nothing in this world is harder than speaking the truth, nothing easier than flattery." And flattery, as you know, is a form of dishonesty or tricking somebody. Okay, I think we can all agree that saying what is truthful, what is honest, is very hard at times. Sometimes saying the truth may get us into trouble. Sometimes being honest may cause us to lose popularity. Nevertheless, we're called to be honest. Another author named George R.R. Martin. He's like a fantasy novel writer. If you've seen the show, I hope you haven't watched it, by the way, Game of Thrones, he's behind that. But anyway, he said, so not the most upstanding of writers, but he said, most men would rather deny a hard truth than face it. Okay, and I'll come back to that in a moment. But yet another quote by another writer, again, not an upstanding person, Noel Coward. He said, it's discouraging to think how many people are shocked by honesty and how few by deceit. Isn't it true that we are so accustomed to people who twist the truth or extend it that we're surprised when somebody actually does say the truth? Okay, I tried looking a little bit. I thought maybe there's somebody who's done a survey or a questionnaire or something who's done statistics on honesty, somebody who tried to analyze it. And indeed, there have been people who have tried to get an estimate of just how honest are we as Americans. One survey, there were a number of studies, but I'll just mention two. One survey done in 2010, it found that most Americans lie once or twice daily. Another one, in 2021, it was done just of college students. They found about the same results for college students as well, about once or twice daily. And the other studies I saw also tended to concur that, you know, most Americans lie once or twice daily. Now, what seemed most odd about these studies to me is that they consider people who lie once or twice a day to be overall honest people. Labeling someone as honest when they lie to you once or twice a day does not seem to be overall honest. I don't know if you would agree with me. But where they're getting this categorization is that they would consider people to be prolific liars if they lie six or more times in a day. Okay? But in my estimation of things, lying even once or twice a day is a big deal. You're not honest. Okay. If I were to, you know, imagine just, you know, I tell Pamela I'm going to go to Walmart, right? And I actually go to a bar. And then I come back, she says, where'd you go? I say, well, I went to Walmart, when really I'm lying. If I did that once every day, what would she think? This is a liar. I'm married to a liar, right? But anyway, you know, maybe I'm sheltered. Maybe I live under a rock that I think that this seems like a lot. But by no means is it an easy trait to always have. Okay, sometimes I think we could all agree that it's much easier to say what is false, whatever the other person wants to hear. Yet honesty is such a valuable thing. And Christians, if you think about it, should be the most honest people on the planet. I said that I would come back to one of the quotes is by George Martin. Most men would rather deny a hard truth than face it. I think this quote in particular, it has great applicability to our relationship with God, and it shows us why, in the big scheme of things, why honesty is so important. I had forgotten the past several weeks to quote our foundational verse, that's Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, fools despise wisdom and instruction. To get to a place of fearing the Lord, to get to a place of wisdom, we have to look at ourselves and God honestly. Okay, in honesty, we have to face a hard truth, as the quote says. It is not an easy thing to agree with the truth that all humans naturally deserve God's wrath. We all deserve his anger and punishment because of our disobedience. That idea is repulsive to many, even though it's honest. And equally repulsive to many is the idea that we would need outside help to be put into a right condition with God. What's incredible to me is how what is supposed to be good news, that Jesus gave himself up voluntarily for us, is somehow twisted into something offensive in the mind of many. How dare someone tell me that I need help? You know, someone gives you, somebody offers you eternal life freely, and somehow that's offensive to you because it's the honest truth. It just doesn't make sense to me, okay? But the point there is that not looking honestly at your condition and how it relates to God will cost you everything eventually. Okay, so honesty is therefore so very important. Aligning ourselves with God's truth, that's what honesty is, by the way. Being honest means speaking or being aligned with what is true, with what is, okay? But aligning ourselves with God's truth is the only hope we have in the world. Okay, you have to look at yourself and God honestly. That's why honesty is so important. Okay, so I did want to mention that just quickly, why honesty is important. But as I said, there aren't a ton of verses in Proverbs specifically about honesty, but we'll look at them nevertheless. So I'll read the few verses that we do have that do mention it or mention a facet of honesty. So let's see. The first one we have here is 10:9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Proverbs 28:6, better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. Then 12, do we have 12:19? Yep. Okay, that'll be the next. I get it. Okay. We have time. I'll just read it. This'll be a shorter sermon anyway. Give me a second here. 12:17. So 12:17, an honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. Okay, then I have 12:19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. 13:5, the righteous hate what is false, but the wicked make themselves a stench and bring shame on themselves. And 14:25, a truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. And then jumping ahead to 24:26. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. And 28:6, the last one I had. Better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. All right, so let's start with 10:9 and 28:6. And I'll read that just one more time because that'll be the first observation that we're making. 28:6 said, better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. And then 10:9, just to keep it all straight in our heads, because I know there's a bunch of verses here. 10:9 said, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. And you'll see how these are connected. Okay. The first observation about honesty is that integrity is a facet of honesty. Okay, so 10:9. Okay, both mention integrity. And I'll explain myself. Okay. Now integrity is an interesting concept. I talk about this with the kids a lot. Have you ever known somebody who tells the truth? They're honest when they're with you, but then as soon as you leave their presence, they begin to do sneaky, deceptive things. Have you ever known somebody like that? Raise your hand. Let's get some hands raised. Yeah, I'm sure we all have known people like that, okay? You can't trust them, can you? You can't. You cannot trust them. A person with integrity does not act like that. Someone with integrity is honest. They're truthful when they're with you, and they're honest when they're all alone, when nobody's watching, okay? Integrity is the idea of being sound, of being upright, of being whole, both inwardly and outwardly. They are not deceptive. They're honest no matter who they're with or where they are. Okay. There's one website I like to use for Hebrew or Greek terms. But it says this about integrity, that integrity stresses inward sincerity or inward honesty that produces outward reliability. I really like that. So integrity is inward sincerity, inward honesty that produces outward reliability. Okay, I think you can see that honesty and integrity are very much so related. Okay, but going to the verses, 10:9 says that whoever lives with integrity lives securely. Let me tell you, you will never go wrong by being honest. You will never go wrong by being honest. You will never go wrong living with integrity. And generally, things tend to go smoother when you're a trustworthy person because people can trust you even when they can't see what you're doing. It's a wonderful thing to know someone who says they're going to do something and they follow up with it. They do it, right? Plus, integrity that allows you to live securely in that you don't make enemies wherever you go. People who are honest, they tend to keep friends. They don't tend to experience hostility against them in the same way that regular liars do. Obviously, sometimes honesty can get you into trouble. But generally speaking, again, Proverbs are situational. I don't know if anybody remembers that from the background of Proverbs. Okay, these are situational, they're contextual, right? If you have trouble with relationships this morning, maybe just try getting rid of some dishonesty. Right? People are attracted to others who are honest, aren't they? I know I am. Okay, being a person of integrity usually helps you live in a general sense, okay, in greater ease. It helps you avoid certain problems that people without integrity go through. Next was 28:6. Good, we have that one. Okay. In the NIV, the word there is blameless. But actually in Hebrew, you know, it's funny because I always said before moving here that I would not bring out Hebrew and Greek, and I'm already doing it. But in Hebrew, the word there that they use for blameless is actually the same word that's used for integrity in 10:9. So better the poor who walks in integrity, we could say. It's the same word. Okay, this one says a lot, doesn't it? It's better to be poor and a person of integrity than it is to have everything and be corrupt. Than who walks in perversity. You know, how badly I wish there were more people who lived by their verse. Some people do acquire wealth. Some people do, you know, they do get money through hard work and honesty, okay? But we would be naive to think that there aren't rich people who become that way because of skillful lying or taking advantage of others. Okay, well, Proverbs says it's better to be honest than poor. It's better to live in integrity and be poor than it is to have all the riches in the world and you're a liar. Than to be a moral degenerate, right? Money is useful. We know that's useful. We know that it's necessary. But as the Bible says, it says the desire of money is the root of all evil. Tons of people go down very wrong paths to get more of it. All sorts of people are in jail this morning because they made a mistake of going after money in any way possible instead of doing what is legal or upright. Okay, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have compassion upon those in prison. I'm not saying that. Okay, but people make mistakes. And thinking about this further, you know, there are tons of people in the world who might fit into the category of poor yet have integrity. Many people in Central, South America, Africa, Asia, maybe they're poor in comparison to many Americans, yet it doesn't matter if they're hardworking, honest people. They walk in integrity. We as Americans, as a society, sometimes we get things so backwards, don't we? Sometimes we make the mistake of pitying them for not having as much as we do. Okay, but if they're hardworking, if they're honest people, their material possessions are of little importance. We strive for success and money, and many in the U.S., and of course in other countries as well, but many in the U.S. will go to any sort of length to get more money. Okay, all the while God is looking down, and he sees not the lying person who has it all, but perhaps the honest, hardworking, yet poor person in the middle of nowhere. Okay? It's better, it's more important for God that you be an honest person who walks in integrity than you have a lot of stuff. Okay? It's better to be honest, to have integrity, than it is to be a rich liar. And all this reminds me of a story. It took place back in 2022 in Mississippi. So a guy in his, I'll try to keep the people straight. A guy in his 30s, he killed another guy in his 40s in 2019. Okay. He was the murderer. He was a drug addict at the time that he killed the other person. So for 3 years, the police in the town where he lived, they did not know that this man in his 30s had killed the other guy in his 40s. Okay, the man in his 30s, on a separate charge, he was arrested in 2019, but for drug charges. It was not related to the murder. But then he was released later that year in 2019, and lo and behold, he was sent to a Christian addiction ministry program. While attending the ministry, he became a Christian. So then what do you think happened? He begins talking about his freedom in Jesus, that he had been to jail. He's free. He's freed of his sins. And all the while he knows in the back of his mind that he has a secret. He has a secret. Many of us have secrets, don't we? He had a secret. And he knew that he, to be a person of integrity, he had to confess what he had done 3 years before. So in 2022, he walked into his local sheriff's office. And even though he had been previously released from jail, he confessed that he had killed a man back in 2019. Now, if we think about it, this guy, he probably could have gotten, you know, he probably could have gone a lot longer without being discovered of what he had done. Maybe never. You know, there's some murders that never are solved, okay? But this is an example of newfound integrity because of a belief in God, right? I'm free from sin. Therefore, I should walk in integrity. Therefore, I should walk in honesty. It's better to be a person of honesty, of integrity in jail, like he was putting himself into, than it is to be a dishonest person full of secrets, full of lies, out of jail. Are we people of integrity here today, here in West Oneonta? Do you do what's right even when no one else is looking? Are you secretive? Are you sneaky? Are you deceptive? Right? Remember, God always knows what you do. Maybe I don't know. Maybe your spouse doesn't know. Your friends don't know. Your neighbors don't know. But God always knows, doesn't he? He always knows. He knows every one of our secrets. It's important that we live upright lives, even when nobody else knows. Do you do what's right, even if you know that nobody else is going to find out what you've done? Things to be thinking about. Next two verses. The second observation about honesty is that we should be honest when called upon to speak. Honest when called upon to speak. The next two verses that could be grouped together here were 12:17 and 14:25. Again, I'm just going to repeat it because these are short little verses anyway. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. And both there, as you can see, they speak of a truthful and honest witness. Now, these two verses, as I'm saying here, they speak of being honest when called upon to speak. Okay, 14:25 says that an honest witness saves lives. And that could literally be true at times. But a person who speaks honestly when called upon brings other benefits when speaking for other people. Okay, the context of these verses, though, involves what one will say when called to speak on behalf of another. This is a big deal for God, one of the Ten Commandments. Do not bear false witness, right? You were a witness to something. A court calls you to tell those there what you saw took place. So the question is, will you be honest? Will you tell the truth and tell all that happened? Or will you be dishonest and twist something? Will you change something slightly, exaggerate something for your gain or someone else's gain? Now, to be fair, most of us don't find ourselves regularly in court situations. I hope we don't. But I think it can be applied to how we tell the truth just in general when called upon to do so. This happens a lot in our house. Any of you with kids or grandkids knows what I'm talking about. One of the kids will say, this is an example, Ayana did not do anything, but they'll say, that one of the boys will say, Ayana did such and such. So what do? We call Ayana, we call the boys, and say, what happened? Did Ayana do such and such? Or is one of the boys trying to deceive us to look good by being a tattletale? Right? For a kid, when we call upon them to explain what happened, that can be a stressful moment, depending upon whatever punishment we're going to be giving out. But the question is, you know, do I go along in their minds? Do I go along with what my sibling is saying, or do I tell the truth? And we as adults have similar situations, don't we? There might be a problem at work, and your boss asks you to explain what occurred. Maybe your husband or wife, they hears about something you said or did, so they ask you to explain yourself. Those types of situations are not uncommon. Okay, the court situation might be fairly uncommon, but those other types of situations where we're called upon to give an honest testimony, those are not uncommon. And the question for us as adults is, will you be honest? Will you describe the plain truth when called upon? Or will you stretch the truth to make yourself or someone else look better? It is important for Christians to give honest answers, to not exaggerate, to not stretch the truth or completely make up something that doesn't make any sense anyway. And you might be thinking, this is a good question to answer. You know, what if being honest gets me into trouble? What do I do? And to that, I would respond with 1 Peter chapter 3. In part of the chapter there, Peter mentions suffering for doing good. This is not easy to accept all the time. He says the following in verses 13. This is chapter 3, verses 13, 14, and then 17. But it's all the same idea. He says, "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." Man, what powerful words. The Bible tells us that we are blessed when we get into trouble for doing what is right. It is a good thing if you end up with problems because of the truth. That is the complete opposite of what the world thinks, but God says otherwise. You are blessed if you get into trouble for doing what is right. If we truly trust God enough, then we will be honest whenever and wherever we're called to speak. I was reminded of Martin Luther. October 31st is sometimes known as Halloween, but I tend to remember it more as Reformation Day. Anybody know that, October 31st, Reformation Day? Yes, D40 does. But anyway, October 31st is Reformation Day. I think it's a much more noble cause than Halloween personally. But anyway, so this is what reminded me of Martin Luther, okay? It's the celebration of when most would say that the Reformation officially began. Okay, most of us know probably that Martin Luther is given the credit of being the major initiator of the Reformation back in the 1500s, even though it had been building up for a long time before then. Martin Luther, if you don't know anything about him, he condemned teachings and practices of Catholicism in his 95 theses and other writings. But the point, what I want to say here is that in 1521, Catholic authorities held court against him, called the Diet of Worms. It was basically where they decided what they were going to do with him as a result of his teachings, okay? They asked him, I'm summarizing it, okay? But they asked him to denounce his teachings, and he basically said that unless you can convince me by scriptural proof that I'm wrong, then I can't take back my teachings. Some of you may have heard the quote, "I can do no other, so help me God." That was him. Most believe that he said that. But the decision was made that Luther was a heretic and that there would be no penalty for someone who would try to kill him, basically. None of that took place. People helped him out along the way afterwards. But it was a hefty blow to him. It would be a hefty blow to any of us. I think we can agree with that. And so during the trial, it would have been the perfect moment for Luther to lie and say that, you know what, you're actually right, my teachings are false. But he didn't. He gave an honest answer when called upon. And here we are as Protestants 500 years later, partly because of his honesty in dealing with Scripture. Okay, Martin Luther was not a martyr. He did not die for his teachings, but he did face many problems because of what he wrote and taught. Every martyr, okay, people who have died for their faith, since the days of Jesus, they have died because of their unswerving commitment to the truth, to honesty. When called upon to state what they believe under the penalty of death, imagine that, not one martyr recanted what they believed because otherwise they would have been spared. They spoke the truth when called upon. Okay, do you tell the truth when situations come up? Do you tell the truth? Say, you know, Yulia, did such and such happen? Do you tell the truth? Paige, did such and such happen? Do you tell the truth? Keith, did such and such happen? What do you tell? Do you tell the truth? Right? Are you brave enough to be honest, even when it might land you in a bunch of trouble? That's the real question. Are you brave enough to be honest, even if doing so could land you in a bunch of trouble? And it reminds me of 1 Peter 3. You are blessed when you suffer for doing what is right. It's a hard idea to accept, but man, it is, it's something to live by. It's something I wish we could get in our souls. But anyway, so I think I'm shorter. Yeah, this is a little bit shorter. All right. Anyway, last point. There's three verses. Like I said, not many verses specifically dealing with honesty. So I couldn't really group together these last three verses. Instead, I just decided to make general observations about all three of them. Just based on honesty. But like I said, next week there will be 16 or 17 verses about dishonesty. So there's a lot more material to work with. So the first verse there is 12:19. An honest witness. I think I meant 12:17. Let me check that. 12:19. Oh, you know what? Okay. So that says 12:19. So that actually is 12:17. 12:19, and that's okay. 12:19 says that truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Okay. In other words, honesty is lasting. Honesty is lasting. Now, the effects of lies can be lasting, can't they? But with truthful speech, we don't ever have to amend, correct, go back over what was said. With lies, you can't say the same thing, right? Oftentimes with lying, you have to do a lot of backtracking, remembering what you said to who so as to not be caught. It's a lot of work, actually, to lie. With honesty, there's no need for retracting, going over what I said. Honesty, therefore, has lasting value. It's not something that loses strength over time. I think, too, that's one of the reasons the Word of God has been around for such a long time. It is true. It is honest, right? Some people, you know, they like to depreciate the Bible for being so old. It's just an old book, right? But actually, the age of the writings can give it credibility. Now, not everything that is old is true. We know that. But it must mean something. It must mean something if millions and millions of people have believed it to be true over such a long period of time. If I remember correctly, I think the Bible has been the best-selling book ever, I think. And that does give it a certain amount of credibility. But all that to say, you know, honesty, truthfulness is lasting. Plus, another thing to think about in terms of its lasting value is that God doesn't end honesty in judgment like he does with lying. God, if he doesn't judge something now or during our lifetime, he will one day judge all things. Lies will be gone completely one day. They'll be gone. Okay, all that was false will be rooted out and thrown away like garbage. What is true and honest will last forever. Okay, so next is 13:5, a truthful witness. Okay, that's okay. It's okay. I appreciate Christine because I don't do the slides. Right, the righteous hate what is false. The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked make themselves a stench and bring shame on themselves. The righteous hate what is false. How important it is that we hate what God hates. So if God hates lying, we also should hate lying. We should hate deception. Honesty aligns itself with God's character. He is the God of truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the basis and upholder of truth, meaning what is, right? Not only does God hate lies, but Numbers 23:19, Titus 1:2, Hebrews 6:18, they all say that God can't lie. So he hates lies and God can't lie. It would be wonderful if we all had that same mindset where we would say, I hate lying. I can't lie because my new nature in Christ doesn't allow me to do so. Right? Another reason we who are honest should hate lies is because lies make life difficult for everyone else. Some of you probably know this firsthand a lot better than I do. Lies make life a whole lot difficult for everyone else. I've seen cases, and I'm sure some of you have better stories than I do at this. I've seen cases where the one who lies best, the one who cheats others, gets ahead of everyone else. They get what they want. And it's simply not fair, is it? The one who's honest, the one who admits their mistakes, they stay behind and they can't move up. They can't get ahead. Why should the one who lies for their own gain get all the benefits? It's simply not fair, right? So don't be indifferent. If only for that reason, don't be indifferent about lying if just for that reason. Those of us who love justice, who love fairness, we should hate lies. Okay. Lastly, 24, 26, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. We read this with our kids a few weeks ago and they laughed. They laughed when they first heard this verse. But it's implying what? That an honest answer is pleasant. An honest person is pleasant in general, right? An honest person is a pleasure to be around. Isn't it a relief to meet an honest person, someone you can trust? We all want people who we can trust. You don't have to be on your guard around them because they're trustworthy. They're not frequently thinking of how they can trick you next. Okay? You don't have to wonder what they're doing when you're not there. That's a wonderful thing. It's wonderfully refreshing to be around somebody who's honest. We should all be like that. If we're a Christian, we should be pleasant to be around, if only for the reason that we tell the truth. People should be attracted to us because we tell the truth. We're not tricky. We're not sneaky. Right? Don't be a lying Christian. Actually, a lying Christian, that's an oxymoron. Right? Jumbo shrimp, that's another oxymoron. Oxymoron has two things that do not go together. Right? Lying and Christian are two words that cannot be put together. You cannot be a habitual liar and claim to be a Christian at the same time. They don't go together. They don't. Be a person that tells the truth. A Christian automatically, in our mind, when we think of a Christian, it should automatically, we should think of an honest person. Right? Most of you know that in the past I did construction. And I'm telling you, that was one of the worst jobs I've ever had in my entire life. And I left it after 3 years. I didn't mind the work. That was not the problem. Okay, I would have kept doing the work. It was the work environment that was awful. I was the only truth teller in the group where I worked. And I'm being honest. I was the only truth teller in the group. And my bosses knew that. My boss one day told me that he could trust me with things because I was the honest one in the group. So very quickly, I got to leading job sites, not because I was the most skilled necessarily. There were a few other guys who were more talented in what we did than I was, but I was more honest. They knew that I wouldn't go to the bathroom every 5 minutes, hanging out in a porta potty. Some of you know what I'm talking about. They knew that I wouldn't take smoke breaks every 10 minutes. I don't smoke, by the way. They knew that I wouldn't sit in a work truck all day on the job site, right? I remember my first week working there. I didn't know anything. They put me on a job site with a guy who, in terms of skill and knowledge, he was super talented. I mean, when he put his mind to something, everything he did looked incredible. And I'm not exaggerating, okay? But he was deceptive. And my bosses knew that. He told me, this is part of, I guess, beginners just being gullible as a beginner there. He told me that 1 hour lunch breaks were acceptable and that even longer breaks were okay if it was cold outside. So here we were, my first week on the job, and it was in February. So it was about, I think it was particularly cold that week. It was like in the 20s. And here we go, we're taking 2 hour lunch breaks, being paid for it. And I just thought that something's not right about this, but I didn't want to tell on him because I was new and he had been there a long time. And you know, I get that it was cold, but it's not an excuse to not work if you sign up for a job knowing that you're going to be working outside in the cold. Now, I never told on him, but I found out quickly that such lunch breaks were not standard. But the point is that my bosses, they trusted me. I never took hour-long lunch breaks after that. In fact, when I was in charge of job sites, the other guys hated me because I would tell them we're not taking 30-minute lunch breaks. They were told us 15 minutes, so I held by that standard and I got a lot of problems for it. But, you know, people can trust you when you're honest. Your boss in a workplace, in your family, your friends, your neighbors, they can trust you when you're honest. It's a huge relief to know somebody that is honest. Like, I know that person is honest. I know that person's doing what they told me that they're going to do. I mean, are you pleasant to be around? Are you pleasant to be around because you're honest? I hope so. I sure, you know, is what you say lasting? Truthful lips endure forever. Is what you say lasting? Or do your words tend to fall short? Do they fall short of what God wants for you? Do your words endure because they're truthful? Meaning you don't have to go back and think, oh, who did I say what to who? What do I have to keep straight because I lied to him, I lied to her, I lied to that other person? It's a lot of work to lie. A whole lot of work. But if you're truthful, you don't have to keep track of things like that. So if you have a bad memory like I do, just be honest. Right? But so in conclusion, you know, I mentioned a hodgepodge of different things about honesty. First, honesty is seen. It's seen in integrity. Integrity is a facet of honesty. We should be honest when people are around and honest when no one is around. It's simple. Proverbs, that's what I love about Proverbs. It's simple. It's very simple. There's nothing that, you don't have to be a genius to understand what I'm saying here, okay? We should be honest with people and when people are not there. Somebody should not have to be looking at you every second of the day to make sure that you're doing what you say you're going to do. Secondly, we should be honest when called upon to speak. The verses there that we talked about were about a court situation. But in general, when somebody calls you, you know, what happened? They're asking for your eyewitness account. You should be honest when speaking the truth. Don't speak in a way that gets you an advantage or somebody else an advantage by speaking lies. Okay, lastly, you know, you telling the truth matters greatly. And lastly, we sort of made these brief remarks, just different ones on the remaining verses, right? Honesty is lasting. Honesty is pleasant. And honest people hate lies. Right, so what we'll do is we'll pray, and then we'll get Steve and George, because today is